And a very good morning to each and every one of you. It's Chris Pade with Pulse on San Diego Real Estate. We are on episode number 102, the four financial goals you should meet by the age of 40. I'm well over 40. Let's see if I am qualified to even do this. Stay with us.
Welcome to a Pulse on San Diego Real Estate podcast, the only place to make you smarter about San Diego real estate. We take a look at what's going on in San Diego. We explore everything from new restaurants, coffee shops, free stuff, and more. Now, here's your host, the man with the best hair in San Diego, top realtor, Chris Spade.
Good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning to each and every one of you. It's me, it's Chris Spade with Pulse on San Diego Real Estate, the podcast where I am determined to make you smarter about your financial decisions with regard to real estate and personal finance. And some of you have asked me, why did I start this podcast? I started this podcast because I saw a lot of people making bad decisions, including myself. So I'm not exempt from the messages that I am putting out there. As a matter of fact, one of my big goals, as many of you know, is to be completely debt-free and to live a debt-free life. And I got really authentic on Facebook the other day. And so if you're my Facebook friend, you know that I put on there that I paid off another credit card. And for as painful as it was to see the money slip from my account to pay off this credit card, because there is a pain point there, because you're like, my liquid income is going down and I have no desire to charge more on my credit card. You know, when you start to see that, you go through this little mindset of lack. You start thinking in lack, like, well, I'll never get that back. I'm going to have to use this credit card again. And so my big goal is to make sure that I make smart financial decisions so that way I can pass my story along to you. I don't want to live in that story of debt or financial debt. But what I want to do is really hope that one of you listens and you go, ugh, I'm not the only one that's going through this. I'm human, but it doesn't have to be this way. And so, you know, I'm fully admit I'm not completely ready for retirement, even though I'd like to retire tomorrow. I'm not totally ready for that. However, one of the things I wanted to talk about is the financial goals you should meet by 40. And I got this from CBS News, Maurice Beckman, who put this out. And I really like this article because it's a lot of what I've been preaching before. However, you know, I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey. He wrote The Total Money Makeover. And I, Susie Orman, I love Susie Orman. I just talked to one of my very good friends, John Young, who I had posted on Facebook about getting, paying off this one credit card. And it was surprising, almost 400 of you responded to that. 400. And I'm so grateful for that. Thank you. And so what he did was, is he shared with me his journey about getting debt free and then buying a new place. And so I wanted to talk to you about some of those things. And here are the four financial goals you should meet by the age of 40. And the first one is extremely important, and that is have a fully loaded emergency fund. You know, we talked about last week about how I believe it's 73% of U.S. households could not cover a $400 emergency expense. And that's just really, really scary to think about. And when you read Dave Ramsey's books, The Total Money Makeover, it talks about having an emergency fund. And it really is dependent on what you make. And so if you make, I believe it's over $25,000, you should have a $1,000 emergency fund. And if you make less than that, you should have at least a $500 emergency fund to cover any expenses that come up. And then once you are moving forward in the steps to paying off your debt, if you have to use that emergency fund, you have to go back, fund the emergency fund, and then move forward. Dave's third step is starting to set up the emergency fund we're going to talk about, which is 3 to 6 months of living expenses. And so the way Dave works is get your $1,000 emergency fund, do your debt snowball, which we had talked about last week, and then he says 3 to 6 months of emergency fund. So the emergency fund, this article goes on to say, ideally should have enough cash to cover 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses. This way, if you lose your job or don't find new work for a number of months, you don't risk racking up loads of debt to keep up with your bills. And remember, the whole goal is staying out of debt. Similarly, you never get to know when a whopper of an expense might land in your lap, the article says, whether it's a busted car engine, an unplanned hospital stay, or a sinking foundation under your home. Haha, we're a real estate podcast. These things happen. And oh, by the way, do you remember what happened to me at the beginning of the year? I believe I talked about it on the podcast when I woke up one day and I had this explosive lymph node and they couldn't figure out what it was. And I didn't know if I had cancer or lymphoma or whatever it was. And, you know, I have really good health insurance and I'm super grateful for it. I still landed up with about $3,000 in medical bills that I'm actually still paying off. So you have to keep all this in perspective. So you have to be able to, even though I have my $1,000 emergency fund and I could put chunks down, and I've paid off most of it, by the way, not all of it. The hospital portion is the worst part of it. But you have to keep this in mind, because by not doing so, you're going to get yourself into more debt. And that's how people end up starting to backpedal. And that's quite honestly how bankruptcies start to erupt. The other thing, have 3 times your salary saved for retirement. Now, I know this is probably easier said than done. This is the problem we have in this country, is that we're always buying crap to impress people that we don't even know. And we are not thinking about our future down the road. We always think, oh, I'll do that later, I'll do that later, I'll do that later. I'll go and charge this this vacation, or I'll do this, or I'll go file bankruptcy, or I'll go do this. These are not good, smart financial moves. And so what this article goes on to say is the challenging thing about building a nest egg is that it's hard to predict how much is enough or how little is too little when retirement is multiple decades away. So, investment giant Fidelity, however, suggests saving 3 times the current salary by the time you reach the age of 40. That's a pretty good target to aim for. This means that if you're earning $80,000 a year, you'll want $240,000 in your IRA or 401k by the time you hit 40. I can tell you, I do not have $240,000 in my 401k or IRA. So this is something that we really need to pay attention to. And so if you've not, I just heard another statistic, which I thought was really interesting and extremely sad. And, you know, my heart breaks for people that are in this position, is that most people that they're the average, I think it's something about 70% of U.S. Americans, well, U.S. Americans, that's really good, Chris, Americans, 70% of Americans only have $5,000 in their retirement. And so if you think the government is going to take care of you, they're not. In fact, by the time I reach time to get Social Security is probably not going to be around. But if you're currently 35 years old with half that amount and you max out your 401k for the next half decade at $18,500 a year, you'll add another $108,000 to your nest egg. And if your investments generate 8% average annual return during that time, which is actually a little bit below the stock market's average, you'll get pretty close to that $240,000. And so you have to keep that in mind. Stop buying things to impress people you don't even know. Do you really need a BMW? Do you really need a flashy watch? Stop paying attention to social media and Instagram, because I'm telling you, that is the detriment to the country. You know, unless something brings you joy, you don't really need it. And let me tell you, you can get from here to Palm Springs, from San Diego to Palm Springs, in a Hyundai just as good as you can in a BMW. You might look a little flashier in the BMW, but trust me, it is not going to be smart. The other thing, have no debt other than your mortgage or a vehicle payment. Now, I kind of agree with this one. I kind of don't agree with this one. I agree with this one. Having debt with your mortgage, okay, I understand that. That's not a big deal. Car payments, I'm totally not a fan of car payments at all. As you know, I just recently got a new car. I recently went into debt, per se, with that car. And the reason I did that, now I have the money to pay off the car, but the reason I did that is because I've been working to pay off all my debt. So my credit rating has been kind of stagnant. It hasn't really gone up, it hasn't really gone down, and it's not super great, but it's not super bad. And so what I want to do is I want to get that credit rating up. And I'm doing that by keeping the car payment. So I'm only going to keep the car payment for about 18 months, and then I'm going to pay the whole thing off. I chose to do that purposefully, but interest rates on car loans are generally not good, especially if you have less than desirable credit. You know, you're paying 21, 22%. However, what you really should be paying is closer to anywhere from 1 to 8%. And so you need to take that into consideration. And if you want to pay off your car quicker, I would highly suggest refinancing it. That's one of the things that I've done in the past, is refinancing my car. But you just need to make sure that, as far as I'm concerned, cars, no. Credit cards, no. Student loans, get those paid off as fast as you can. Mortgages, we'll give you. However, you know, like me, I'm going to take the house and I'm going to reverse mortgage that thing and just let it go bye-bye after I go. So, you know, I just wouldn't worry about it. As far as the mortgage is concerned, all the other debt, I think, should be paid off. Let's talk about wills and trusts. So I'm going to be talking to one of my trust attorneys here. Her name is Marianne Dean, and she runs the Dean Law Group here in San Diego. And wills and trusts are so important because what you want to do is you want to make sure that your heirs know exactly what you want to do with the property. If you want to do one thing for your heirs, do not screw them over and do not allow them to have to put the stress on them of going through probate. Probate is extremely stressful for the heirs. And so one of the things that I would highly, highly, highly recommend if I were you is to get your house, your property, your bank accounts, your cars, everything, pour it into a trust. You're going to want to do that because when you go, it's going to make everything easier for your loved ones who are taking care of your estate. If you're not doing that, and I mean everything, checking accounts, you want to do everything, make sure it's all there so that way they can go in and close out everything after you pass and pay off any bills that you may have left over. But remember, our big goal is to be leading a debt-free life, because if you're leading a debt-free life, and let's say you have right now $500 plus that you are paying to debt, you could take that $500 and invest it. And trust me, wouldn't you rather take that $500 and invest it and watch it grow versus having to pay it for a car or credit card bills or something stupid like that? You know you want to. I know I want you to want to do that for yourself. So look at money as something that grows. Don't look at it as something that you have to spend. And don't look at debt as something that you have to have, like a badge of honor. Some people think that you have to have debt and credit card debt and car payments, and that's just life. No, that's not life. That's not life. Life is meant to be enjoyed. Life is meant to be loved. And you don't really have to, you know, be shackled to the chains of debt. So I don't want you guys to have to do that. If you have any questions about financial stability or real estate, or you have any questions about really good restaurants in San Diego, I'd like to interview some of those people too. Reach out to me at 619-818-2992 or on the web at alwayssunnynsc.com. Don't forget, if you are looking, the new UPS store just opened up on the corner of Park Boulevard and Polk Street in University Heights, right there, just a block away from Sprouts, just a block south of Sprouts. It's in the new Jonathan Siegel building. They have everything in there. They can digitize your photographs, put them on flash drives, take your passport photo, ship, accept packages, and if you don't want your packages stolen, you can ship them there and they will accept your packages, all kinds of fun stuff. So if you have any questions, go see the folks at the UPS store in University Heights. If you have any questions for me, 619-818-2992 or on the web at alwayssunnynsc.com. Thanks so much, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to A Pulse on San Diego Real Estate with Chris Spade. If you like our show and want more, check us out on iTunes. While you're there, leave us a review. See you next time.